You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout Sales Event is on. Lease the 2019 Qashqai S for zero down from $279 a month at 3.6% APR for 64 months. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 2. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. Dave Pullen will return at some point. We kicked him out because Rachel from The Source was in here. And she had, that's the most tech she has brought into the studio. We've been hanging out with Rachel for over a year now. And every
one day I thought, like, I keep thinking she's just going to go.
I know, I'm waiting for the whole pile to come over.
And just say, that I this like, keep it. You have this.
Right. Well, I don't know. Happen. She has been very kind to us in the past.
Oh, like we've, yeah.
They've hooked us up with headphones that are like top-notch, the Bose headphones. The
Raptors ones.
The Raptors-themed headphones, which I rock on a regular basis. There's a lot of great stuff. And this time of year, man, we're not just paying lip service. The Source is the place to be.
Yeah, and I'll be going there because wait till your kids get older. Wait till you just get a peek at some of these Christmas lists. 10-year-old kids, 8-year-old, like...
My child is 4 this weekend.
And let me guess, ask for an iPad.
No, she's already got an iPad. She's already got a phone. She doesn't... And by that, I mean she's not connected to the phone. Our old phones, we just keep going with the Wi-Fi in the house, and she has it. Like, she has her phone. Like, I will offer her up my phone. She'll be like, Daddy, can I go on YouTube? And I'll say, yeah, here, use my phone. And she'll go, I don't want that phone. Where's my phone? And if it's upstairs, guess who's going up to get it?
Dude, if you go up and get that phone,
it's pathetic. But there have been
times. Go get it.
No kidding. But then it's I don't want to go up. I'm scared up there. And it's like, all right, I guess I'll go get your phone. You're not even 4.
It's a joke.
You got a phone. But she came home with one of those Scholastic, you know, I don't know, like a catalog, basically. And we were kind of jokingly saying, why don't you circle something that you'd want for your birthday that's coming up in Christmas?
I know, one of those toy magazines, right?
Dude, every second toy was getting circled. By the end of it, there was $15,000 in merchandise that was circled. And obviously that's not going to happen, but...
Yeah, it is pretty sad because I swore when I grew up old school and I said, I'm not spoiling my kids. They want something, I'm like, whatever you want, let's go get it.
Well, especially with technology. Because when we were kids, I remember I always wanted a hockey jersey. Like, that was what I always asked for.
I always asked for a hockey stick and gloves, new gloves, skates.
Exactly. That's kind of, and as you got older, you maybe be like, can I get some clothes or whatever? But now it is. It's like iPads and just, like an iWatch.
No shame.
I got to have an iWatch. I got to have an iWatch. Grade 4, got to have an iWatch. It's crazy.
It is nuts.
It's crazy.
No shame in asking either. Like, this is what I want from Santa.
Right.
And then you got it in your head. You're like, are they going to hate Christmas if I don't get it to them? Like,
well, yeah, I mean, that's the way it goes, man. Like, we're talking a big game. We're tough guys on the radio. Like you just said, we're going to go and buy a bunch of different
85-90% of their list is going to be under the tree. Because you're like, I'm not going to be that garbage Santa.
Yeah, it's going to happen. Yep, we can
like
talk
that
tough.
That stupid magazine that's got all the circles on it, you're going to be going to a store.
Yeah. I'm just
going to
drop it off at the Source and say, is there anything in here that I can get here?
And just every other store, where's that, where's that?
Yep, that's exactly what's happening. Mr. Tough Guy on the radio, old school, all I used
not
to...
Not spoiling my kids.
No, we're pathetic, we're soft, and we're going to do it. So the Leafs are in action tonight. Is this the most anticipated game of the season?
For me, it is, because they've been awful, and now they're starting to talk the talk about how it's unacceptable, and they've had enough. The coaches said he's going to make changes. The players claim they had a players-only meeting. It's that time where you're expecting to see a response. Can they actually pull it off, though, and look anything different than what they've been doing? You talked about it off the top. 17 games this season, they've given up the first goal. And
17.
I wonder how many of those it became 2-0.
A lot of them quickly became 2.
Yeah, and I give them credit because a lot of times they do battle back and they tie it up. But ultimately, it's just...
Well, that's why...
You know what Pat Quinn called that?
It's a loser's race.
That's a loser's race every time.
And I think a lot of their numbers offensively are deceptive. because, yeah, they're getting some goals, but it's when they're down 5-3 and then they score late with an extra man. Or, like, look what happened in Chicago. What happened with the Islanders. It's happened multiple times this year. We're sure they battle back and then they make it look respectful, but there's no context to that. The opposition is sitting there playing almost prevent defense. Like, go ahead, take it. We're up by 2 or 3 with 5 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Like, so they've padded their stats.
Yeah, it's score effects.
Exactly. And they've padded their stats, and as a result, you're like, man, you know what? These guys, there's a couple of cookies here or there. A couple of guys are actually having decent seasons, but it doesn't add up to any team success. And that is what is going to be evident for me tonight. You know, the connectivity of this team, like the semblance of looking like a team that's actually in it to win it, and not just tonight, but in terms of what you hope to do come April, because you've been on bad teams. Where you come in, you show up at camp in September, and you got to pay lip service publicly. Hey, everyone's in first place. We're feeling good.
I have told you, though, you look around the locker room, and you know what you got.
You know you have an idea. You know you're not good enough. And then there are teams on the opposite end of the spectrum that roll in on September 15th, and they feel great, and they say, we're going to be playing into June. I believe
it. And they should have been one of those teams.
They should have been one of those teams. If they were one of those teams, we'll know tonight. Because if in September, they were looking around saying, it's our time. We've got the ingredients to be a winning team. We believe in ourselves, and we are not just paying lip service to it. We're going to prove it. It has to be evident tonight.
Yeah, the lip service is over. The old, like, you know, we got a, what are the cliches they've been tossing out? Austin Matthews.
Oh, finder swag.
Finder swagger. We got to look each other in the eye, blah, blah. Okay.
Oh, there's been a million of the cliches.
No, just go out and do it tonight. That's all you got to do. Start with tonight. And by the way, you better do it the next night, too, in Colorado or Arizona, wherever the hell you are.
Well, they're in Arizona in 2 nights, and Arizona is winning games.
Yes, they are.
They are winning games, and they are... they're a tough team to play against.
That's right.
Like, they're a legitimate
contender. Even without Uncle Phil producing.
Phil's like a setup guy. They don't have guys that stick out in terms of scoring. You know, they just kind of all chip in and chip away.
They're just accumulating points is what they're doing.
Right.
They don't care how they're doing it.
Yeah. Like, Antti Raanta had a shutout last night. Darcy Kuemper has been a revelation. Like, they're going to get goaltending in a couple of nights. Their defensive system is in play. So that's not going to be easy. And come Saturday, I'm looking forward to that game in Colorado because I want to see Kadri. Like, Kadri is an emotional powder keg at the best of times.
Yeah.
You know he's going to be looking to agitate on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. He'll be running around just taking guys' heads off.
I fully expect him to make a statement. Like, fully expect him to make a statement.
So do I. And what are they going to do about it? That's the question.
Well, I mean, you got to cross this bridge before you even get to that one.
Yeah, that seems so far away right now, Colorado on Saturday night.
I know. Two games away, and it feels like it might as well be next month.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean, you got a situation here where they're, you know, the world is watching them right now. That's another unique
factor. Oh, yeah. I did Ottawa radio this morning, and they just can't get enough of it.
Oh,
they cannot get enough of it.
Yeah. Everyone around the country and everyone around the league is watching the Maple Leafs implode, and they hope that it continues.
Yeah,
they're waiting for it to continue, and you know it's on the Maple Leafs to figure that out tonight. Dave Poulin, I don't know if we're ever going to see Pooley again. Is Pooley coming back, or has he just pulled the chute and he's had enough? Not that it matters, but
it's hard to say. We're at the mercy of the panel, so
okay. Well, yeah. It's not the first time we've been at the mercy of the panel.
Not even saying a word.
Yeah, we're just going to let that one fly.
Not even saying a word.
But we talked to Ray about the Garnet Hathaway spitting at Eric Goodbranson last night. We got into that in the 5 p.m. hour. And
I think it's the worst thing you can do. I don't know why. There's something about it. It's disgusting, and it's the most disrespectful thing you can do.
Like,
what kind of suspension does that warrant, though?
Well, as I said earlier, I would hand out a 10-game suspension. Now, you have to – it comes with the caveat that common sense has to be considered. Because there are going to be times –
10 might be rich. They might give him 3 or 4 games.
Well, I'm not saying I expect that to be the case. I don't think they will. I think they might give him a game. They might fine him. I don't know. There's nothing in the rule book that says it's got to be a carbon copy.
I would suspect if he has a hearing, he's going to get suspended.
Probably, yeah. But it's like when you jump over the bench and join a fight. It's an automatic 10-game. If you spit on some guy...
Right in his face.
You know exactly what you're doing. I have no sympathy for you. I don't care about your game checks. I don't care about it being, you know, 15% of the season or whatever if it's a 10-game suspension. If it happens in the playoffs, it should still be a 10-game suspension. It's demeaning. It's inhumane. I mean, it's just it's a greasy maneuver. You spit on some guy. Now, I will say, Gudbranson popped him with a pretty greasy cheap shot as well. Like it was a sucker punch.
Oh,
he was pissed.
It was a sucker punch, and that would have pissed anybody off.
Absolutely. But the maneuver is, okay, I'll get you back, or I'm going to go crazy, and I'm going to get to you, and I'm going to pop you. Or I find another one of your teammates in the scrum, and I'm going to sucker him. Because that happens a lot, the domino suckering. You got me, I can't get back to you, so I'm going to hit this guy.
Yeah.
And then he's going to go tell you, what the hell was that all about? You just cost me two teeth. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how the league will handle it. Because, as I said earlier, I look at biting, I look at spitting, I look at a racial slur, I look at homophobic slurs. You're in control of it. If you're the one that does it on the ice, I think you should pay a very significant price. And we'll find out. I was reading earlier, Stamkos hit 400 goals. Like, he's not even 30 yet. Less than 20 players all time have done that. So he is in a significant, elite company, which is not a surprise. But someone wrote an article, I think it was up on NBC, that he is underrated, that maybe he doesn't get enough love.
I do not think he's underrated.
I think he's appropriately rated. I'm not sure he gets enough love because of the stat I just pointed out. Like, the article highlights that Ovechkin kind of steals a lot of the limelight from any goal scorer in this generation. It's like 90% of it goes to Ovechkin because he's so much better than everyone else. He's now put himself in Gretzky territory. Could he catch Gretzky?
I think if Stamkos won a championship, he would just be on that much of a different level. But he hasn't gotten there with that group. They got to the finals that one year against Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And they fell short. And it's almost like it's just that pillar puts you so much over the top. You don't even compare.
Yeah. Well, that helps. And look at Ovechkin.
He can say whatever he wants. You think he would wheel into Toronto with no championship and blurt out those comments about how Toronto plays?
Well, he couldn't. He couldn't speak on it.
Yeah, that's right. Because people would say, what do you know? You've never done it. You keep playing the same way.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Ovechkin, his reputation, based on goal scoring, his reputation didn't change because he won a Stanley Cup. But, you know, his aura, what he's going to represent, I think when he leaves the game and you look back on it, I think Crosby certainly played himself into top 10 all time. Ovechkin should be top 20, you know, in reality. If he gets upwards of 800 goals, wins a cup, all these hard trophies, Rookie of the Year, a million Rocket Richards.
I think Alex Ovechkin, Brian, he is creeping up to top 10 player.
He might
be.
He might be.
Like, you think about the goalies that he has played against his whole career. When he started in the league is when the goaltenders started to perfect the position. And he is ripping home goals like that every year. That is so incredible.
Yeah, he might be. I mean,
I think he's a top 10 player all day long. All day long.
Yeah. Like, it's a difficult list and a subjective list because you're talking about eras that we didn't see, right? Like, it's just accepted that Gordie Howe's in there. And I'm not saying he shouldn't be, but I never got to see him play. It's accepted that Jean Béliveau's in. And as a result, you know, sometimes because we try to prove that, you know, we didn't forget about you back in your era, in a way you almost take away from the current players. You see it in every sport. Whenever, like, the NFL Network is putting out their top 100 players of all time.
Yeah. It's weird that Bill Belichick's doing that.
Yeah, he's heavily involved. It's him,
so
Eisen,
weird.
And Collinsworth.
Yeah, so weird to think that he would even want to be involved in something like that.
I can't picture charisma.
I can't even picture asking him to do it and him thinking you're going to get a yes.
Well, me too. I mean, I guess...
Hey, Bill, do you want to do the top 100 players? He'd probably say, no, we're on to... On to New York.
He is a historian of the game. I mean, that's what he would tell you. But I think he'd also want he'd be a little bit gun shy about talking about his own players.
Yeah.
You know, like what if Brady's not number one? What if he is number one and Belichick doesn't think he should be number one? Is he gonna say that? You know, I don't know. But in terms of...
Do you know who number one is?
No, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I got to believe it's Brady, Rice, Lawrence Taylor, Jim Brown.
I bet you it's Lawrence Taylor with Belichick.
Belichick will vote for him one. For sure he will.
He said it numerous times. Nobody will ever touch him.
Well, they came out with a list. Was it? I don't know if it was the NFL Network. They came out with the greatest players of all time just a few years ago. And Rice was number one. And I think Montana might have been number two. No, I think Brown was two. I think it was Rice one, Brown two, Taylor three, and then Montana, Manning. But in terms of the hockey top ten, you know, it's a subjective list, but I can't argue with you that Ovechkin is creeping towards the top ten, maybe even in it. But that speaks to what we were just talking about. We're trying to pump the tires of Steven Stamkos, and we cannot help but get to an Alex Ovechkin conversation. All right, Pooley, you're back.
I'm back.
We'll let you break for a little bit more. Bob McKenzie's going to be in studio. We'll tee up the Leaf game with Bob. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN2. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine later in the hour. I am dying here. I'm so tired. I'm so exhausted. Everything's going to hell around here, but it's all good. I'm having a good time. Bob McKenzie in studio. What's up, Bob?
I didn't think you were going to be in today. Remember, we had a conversation. Did we not have a conversation?
Yes, we did. If they kept losing, if they lost both games over the weekend.
They lost both games and they got like really cleaned out.
Yep, they did.
You were phoning in sick.
I thought about it, but I'm here.
He was joking. He meant tomorrow if they get killed tonight.
After that, I don't know if you saw it or not, but somebody on Twitter actually loaded up the podcast, the Overdrive podcast, on Saturday night. After the game.
Oh, really?
And had it queued up to the exact point where you said, well, that happens. I'm phoning in sick on Monday.
I did not see that. I was probably trying to avoid Twitter on Saturday night. It was poisonous. Like, you've been through this with a bunch of teams throughout the country.
That was really bad.
And pretty ugly.
Like, it's hard to get worse than what you saw Saturday night.
Well, considering they had lost four in a row before that,
yep.
You know, paying lip service, yeah. They lose to their arch rival the night before.
Like the, you know, but the game before was a competitive hockey game. You know, they broke down, as they have so often, in the third period, and Marchand, you know, got those two goals, and you know, Morgan Riley on the ice for both of them. I mean, it's not like they were picking on the sixth defenseman on the ice. And I'm not saying he was directly responsible for the second one as much as the first Marchand goal. But, you know, that's a competitive hockey game. Bruins were a good team, even though they were winless in four. And so they came up on the wrong side of it. Fair enough. And they're on a bad streak or whatever. But to go out against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, with no Crosby, no Letang, no Murray.
Yeah, it's like, so you can't very well use the injuries as an example. When you got Pittsburgh's backup goalie, no Crosby, no Letang, no Hornquist.
No Bjugstad.
No Bjugstad.
No depth.
Yeah, and they've been decimated with injuries even worse than Toronto this year. Evgeny Malkin was out for so long, and Dumoulin was out. It was on and on and on. So you can't use the injury excuse at all. And, you know, you'd like to blame the goaltender, but, I mean, the game was over before he had a chance to get blamed for anything. And it goes back to my original point, was when the Leafs play a back-to-back, if you want to make Hutchison the bogeyman that costs them all these points in back-to-backs, not a chance in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never be convinced of that. And as I said, when they sent him down, I don't know that he's an NHL backup goalie or not, but I can tell you damn sure, after watching him in all those back-to-backs, the team in front of him collapsed, had nothing to do with him.
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be the theme the past couple of days. It's not so much X's and O's. It's more about just passion, pride, effort, which, you know, I would say it's probably a combination of both.
That's what I was going to say. It's a mix.
It's probably a mix, but that is a true indictment on the team. Like, if they're calling themselves out. Like, this isn't the media and the fans yelling and screaming. You got players on this team saying, you know, we're not even trying hard enough.
But it's interesting when we're talking about player-only meetings. You know, you were in so many of those as a player, you knew what to say. And nothing drove me nuts more than when you'd be in a player-only meeting. And the most unlikely person would say the most unlikely thing. And there'd be silence in the room, and you'd be looking at them going, did you read that somewhere? Or did you see that in a movie? Because you are so far away from the person that should actually be saying that right now. And maybe that was the good thing about the player-only meetings, is you could call somebody
else. My philosophy was... If you were playing like garbage, you better watch what you say.
Well, it's exactly right.
And if some guy was just playing like an idiot and would stand up and say, we got to do this, just like you roll your eyes and say, come on.
See, but here's the thing. So, you know, the two leaders on this team are the two guys that apparently went to Babcock after the game, and that was John Tavares and Morgan Riley, you know? And you could never accuse either one of those players ever, in my opinion, of not caring. Like, you know what? Like, Morgan Riley's not had a good start to the season. But I would never accuse Morgan Riley of not caring. Like, he tries hard and the same thing with Tavares. He's like the consummate professional. So, I mean, so what, you know, what's the reason for something like that? Why do you lose your way so badly in a game where you know the stakes? We talked about it, especially after they lost on Friday night, lost four in a row, you know, and you know you got a neophyte goalie that's never played an NHL game before, and he's going to need a little extra support to get through the game, and he gets like less than zero.
So. You know, so the start of the conversation with Babcock and Tavares and Morgan should be saying, hey guys, let's start right here. You two have to play better.
Yep.
Like, you two have Absolutely. To play better. I mean, that's how the conversation has to start.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like John Tavares.
Been mediocre at best.
Well, I mean, it was 16 months ago he fulfilled the prophecy, like the local superstar coming home, the prodigal son, and he had a remarkable season. 47 goals. He was dominant last year. And now he's starting to deal, like, this is the other side of the coin in the city. This is, especially as a captain. Like, you go from prodigal son, can't do anything wrong, to a captain with a lot of pressure on him. And he knows he hasn't played well enough. But, man, he hasn't shown much.
And that's where the focus should be. And they'd probably be the first to tell you that. But you know, when you look at the Leaf lineup, they've got Hyman, they've got Tavares, now they got Kapanen on the line instead of Marner. Okay. Fair enough, Marner's a big loss. But we just ruled out you can't talk about injuries because other teams have them just as bad, if not worse, than the Toronto Maple Leafs. Come back with your next line. Andreas Janssen, Austin Matthews, William Nylander. That's your top line or your 1A, 1B line, call it whatever you want, fully intact. Now you got problems because of injuries. So now you've got a third line tonight that includes Jason Spezza and Nick Petan, two players who have not been able to secure regular fourth-line minutes on the Toronto Maple Leafs because a combination of Timoshov, Shore, Gauthier, and whoever else has played on the fourth line are all perceived to be ahead of Spezza and Petan. Now that's suddenly two-thirds of your third line. So let's not go into this game tonight thinking that, you know, wow, Spezza and Petan, they're not getting the job done. Come on, be realistic.
Yep.
Why was Jason Spezza signed? He was signed to be a fourth-line center who fills in up and down the lineup a little bit. And that. Your fourth line's your fourth line. And we'll get a look at Engvall, who's been very, very good. Sometimes you get a spark from an unlikely source. Well, the Leafs are probably hoping that happens with Engvall tonight. But the realistic thing is he's a fourth-line hockey player. So it's on your top two. It's on the Tavares line and it's on the Matthews line to get her going. And
where does the coach come into play for you?
Oh, well, hey, listen, he's the same as everybody else. What we need to see tonight is that the Toronto Maple Leaf players were suitably embarrassed, upset with Saturday's performance, that they're going to come out guns a-blazing tonight and that they're not going to duplicate that. They're not going... I used on Insider Trading and on the Sports Center hit we did. It was one of those games, and you guys played. You didn't, Brian. These two guys...
Thanks, Bob.
These two guys played. You and I, we didn't play.
Right.
But that was a rollover and play dead night. That was...
It was embarrassing.
Very early in the hockey game, you were like, oh, man, they got nothing here. They look like... They're quitting. Now, some people would say, well, are they quitting on their coach? And that's the question that's legitimately going to be asked, I guess. And that's one of the answers we'll get tonight. They don't have to win the hockey game tonight. And I'm not suddenly expecting that the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to dial in their defensive game and they're going to score 9 and unleash the power play and everything's going to be perfect. But are they gonna make an effort? Are they gonna step up and play, show some character, show some resilience, and show that they haven't shut it down?
My fear, Bobby, is it's gonna be like that for 10 minutes. And then something's going to go in there.
Get a goal scored, and then it's
just going to be a mess.
Because
they can say, oh, we started on time, we worked hard, and just it didn't work out our way.
Now, Brian and I have never played the game, and I've never hosted a radio show, but now I'm going to officially take over the hosting here.
Bring it, bud.
So you two guys played in the National Hockey League. You must have played for teams where the mindset is so fragile and so screwed up, and the confidence is so low that how does that happen? And when it does, is it an indictment on the coach, or is it just like, you know what? Spit happens. You know, stuff happens.
I have never even heard of, like, not liking a coach, and I didn't really get along with any of the coaches I played for, but I never thought
no
to
way.
Myself, I'm not going to go out there and try because I don't like him. And I think in a situation like this, there's got to be a selfish element where you say to yourself, it is a team sport, but I have to go out there and show everybody that I myself am here to play and I want to make a positive impact. I'm going to finish all my checks. I'm going to do something positive and not make an ass of my. I don't want to be right. One of those guys that's making an ass of themselves in the first period where the coach can put the clip in and say, what the hell are you doing here?
Well, the problem is if they were to go out and finish all their checks tonight in the first period, you'd say that's totally out of character.
Yeah.
Like, that's out of character for almost every single person.
Hey, well, I'm not expecting
game.
That. We're
no,
just talking
but I'm
about
saying that is what should happen.
Well, that's the last time I checked, that's a part of hockey, but not for these guys. They don't do that.
Absolutely,
I don't expect that.
Absolutely, it should happen.
But that,
you know, we talked about earlier, I said, well, what would happen tonight if Matthews went out in the first period and had like half a dozen hits and was just steamrolling
see,
people?
See, but you know what? He did that Friday night.
With three.
Yeah, but even so.
That's out of character for him.
But here's the thing. It's great to be out of character, so be in character. What do the Toronto Maple Leafs do really well when things are going well?
Score, skate.
Fly around.
Move the puck.
That's how they're built.
Well,
they're
always go to the Adam Foote philosophy, and he always said,
Do what you do.
You pick three things you do well in a critical situation.
I would say pick one.
Yeah, try one.
Yeah.
But he would say, everybody does three. His thing was he was physical, he killed penalties well, and he took after the top line of the other team. Those were his three things. Maybe leadership, whatever. But he would just focus on that in a big game, and he always said that. Three things, pick them, and do it, and that's it.
See, when I look at the Leafs and where they're at right now, and everything's terrible, and people are saying, well, the team's poorly constructed, it's poorly put together. The team, however it's put together, forget the playoffs and whether it's built for success in the playoffs. What we saw last year, they were a 100-plus point team.
Mm-hmm.
Really good offensive team, average to below average defensively, rely heavily on their goaltender to make up for the inadequacies of the bad team defense. I don't just want to put it on the guys on the blue line because the forwards are as responsible as the blue liners are. Play to your strength. Like, there's no reason why their power play should suck. None whatsoever.
None.
They've got fantastic personnel. Fantastic personnel.
Unless they're thinking so much about what they're being told to do on the power play that they're not doing it.
Right.
You know, and it's interesting because they were talking about Tyson Berry and how to get him going. I'd put him with Morgan Rielly in the first power play on the half boards for the one-time shot because they don't have a right-hand one-time shot. Willie Nylander is not a one-timer.
Mind you, they like to play Matthews over there on a strong side.
But they flipped him back now. They had him
right.
They go
back and forth,
right?
Yeah.
So at least to try and get one guy going and maybe get the power play going too, but Tyson Berry shoots the puck.
Yep.
Put him in the wheelhouse, shoot the puck with Morgan Rielly on the
power
play.
Or, given the fact that the power play has not been great, put Morgan on the second power play and give
no
Berry
kidding.
A shot on
Switch
the first
side.
One. Just push a button and see what happens.
Well, I think, you know, it's an interesting conversation because I'm looking at this Mark Masters just highlighting some of the things that Muzzin was saying earlier today. And Jake Muzzin saying, quote, when you have a lot of skilled guys and a team that's skilled, you just rely on skill sometimes and it takes more than that, end quote. Which, I mean, we understand that. But to your point, what does Matthews do best? Score goals. Push play. William Nylander, push play.
Mind you.
No, he is. Of course he is. But I get the impression, like, if these guys are listening to people on the outside, they're going to be thinking, I got to be on the right side of the puck. I got to defend. I got to throw my body around. I got to get into a scrum tonight. And that is not the way they're built.
No.
That is not them doing what they're best at doing.
Every one of these players knows that in a, like, they've all been in big situations in their minor careers or whatever. They know how to bring a game tonight that means a lot, and it means a lot to their teammates. And if they don't, they're stupid. Like, they're just stupid. Like, tonight, you just have to have your best game and figure out whatever that is. And if they don't understand that, flat out stupid. There's no other way around it.
Well, and if that isn't going to work, then that's going to be on the GM in the end.
Yep.
Like, if these guys played the best way they can possibly play and it still doesn't mean you can win in 2019.
And they still lose 4-1, then it's just maybe it's not good enough.
Right. At some point you say roster construction, you've gone too far with skill, too far with pace.
So then how do you explain 100-plus points last year? And
well, Nazem Kadri, Ron Hainsey, Connor Brown.
And undergoing and going to game seven of against the best team in the Eastern Conference. And having them 3-2.
Very different makeup of a team.
Yeah.
You have a really different team here.
Yeah. Yeah, they are much softer this year than they were a year ago.
You know what? Well,
it's not like Ron Hainsey and Connor Brown.
No, but they're different.
No, but Hainsey was a gamer. He killed penalties.
Listen, Nazem Kadri's a good hockey player, and everybody talks about abrasive. He was so abrasive that he got suspended in the first round, which contributed, obviously, to him leaving. But that was also a salary cap equation. Because you know what? What I've seen of Kerfoot this year, he plays hard.
Yeah,
he's
pretty
good.
He's
not player. A soft player. He's not going to go around and thing. But you know what? In his own way, he between whistles, plays as hard as Nazem Kadri does.
But the roll of the dice was that with this much change, and I know in the salary cap world, teams change. This is a lot of change.
Yeah.
It's a lot of change.
It is.
And you're predicting that the different pieces are going to go together. They're all coming from different places. And you're just right. Predicting that they're all going to fit together.
Yeah, that's fair enough. But I mean, you know, 20 odd games in, you start to lose some of that. You know,
yeah,
you should
like
yeah.
The placing of value. Nazem Kadri, you know, in terms of the puck in play, he and Kerfoot probably somewhat similar in terms of the impact that they can have on the game. What I always think of with Kadri that I think is sorely lacking on this team is that he made the other team think. He might sucker me here in the scrum.
Quite sure. Yeah,
he might.
Sure.
He might hit me from behind. He might. And they don't have anyone on this team that makes you think like that.
Yeah, but I think it's worth asking the question whether the way the Leafs are constructed is sustainable for deep success in the postseason. But what I can tell you is they should have more than enough speed and skill to have a really good power play. And on most nights, more nights than not, outscore their problems. And if they're not buttoned down defensively and they're not buying into what Babcock's selling defensively, fair enough. That won't be a sustainable thing to go deep into the playoffs. But there's even with the injuries, there should be plenty enough offense. If Tavares is on his game and Matthews is on his game and Nylander's on his game and that
Riley
those,
and
those top
jumping.
Two lines and they're getting some offense from the blue line and Morgan Riley's having a 50-point year and they bring a Tyson Barrie guy. See, the reason that the Kadri for Kerfoot exchange I thought would really pay big dividends was because even if Kerfoot's only 60 or 70% of what Kadri is on any level, offensively or feistiness or any of those things, you're adding a 50-point defenseman who brings an offensive element to the game that would maybe be above and beyond what you were getting from Jake Gardner.
Yeah.
And right now, the sum total of Tyson Barrie's contribution to the Leafs has been a negative. He hasn't. Not only is he just been neutral, it's been negative. He's got an identity crisis. He's got a crisis of confidence now.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, and that's got to be on him. But it's also on the coaching staff. It's also on the team in terms of utilization or whatever. Because for whatever reason. And whether it's justified or not, I've got to think that Tyson Barrie feels like I'd been marginalized. I had 25 of 59 points on the power play last year.
And this power play stinks right now, and they still won't put him on the top unit.
I'm hardly playing on the power play, and now he's on the third pair, and he just looks lost out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's got to, you know, he's got to look in the mirror and say, that's on me, but, I mean, you have to ask questions. Have they utilized him in the right fashion and given him a chance for success?
You know, I'm trying to think of other guys. You think of Eric Staal going to the Rangers? Just flat out didn't fit.
Yep.
Critical time of year, late, like, didn't fit. And everybody thought, okay, he's done. And then he gets resurrected.
So now the question is,
it just doesn't work.
You know, we heard reports that, you know, teams are calling about Barrie and whatever. So I don't know what Barrie's response is going to be to this. Is it going to be, I'm going to dig in? The response that Babcock would be looking for from him would be dig in and, you know, get her done. You know, find a way to get it done. Overcome whatever hole you're in and be on your way. Or is it, you know what? The wheels are falling off around here. I'm, for whatever reason,
check, please.
In the disaster zone. It's a contract year for me. Get me the hell out of here. Like, I didn't sign up for this.
Get me back to the West.
Because, you know, hockey's a team game, but those of us that didn't play, these guys did play. You want it to be a team game, but let's not kid anybody.
You got to get paid.
You're in a contract year. You had big numbers last year that if it had to be in your contract year, you would have hit a home run on July 1. And now you're playing for a team that the wheels are falling off of, and you're like the wheel that's tumbling down the highway the fastest in terms of being off the thing. And you're thinking to yourself, July 1, I'm going to get nothing.
Well, I would argue he has, if he can stick this out and salvage a season, it'll make him that much more valuable.
Agreed.
Right? His character will come out. He fought through it. Mm-hmm. And in Toronto, you're going to get talked about that much more. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, yeah, he's on the opposite side of it right now. He's getting burned. But, man, he runs off 10 or 15 really quality games. He'll be the talk of the town again.
Absolutely.
And that can't hurt your case, I would think.
These next three games are, I think, really important. We keep moving the target around.
Oh, my God.
It was American Thanksgiving, and then I bumped it back to December 3rd or 4th. And now I'm going, you know what? Tonight's really important to see whether these guys are quitting or not because they look like they quit on Saturday night. I've got to believe that they're going to come with a representative effort in this game tonight and that this game against – and I was going to say, even if they don't win, they need to show that they're playing with some heart and some emotion and some character.
They need to win.
And that – but they over the next three games, they need to get some wins. And the next three games are all on the road. Matthews has got to show that he can score somewhere other than Scotiabank Arena.
Tough games too, Bobby.
Yeah.
Tough games. Like I looked at this part of the schedule,
absolutely.
13 of 16 on the road starting on November 10th. 13 of 16.
Oh, yeah.
And they were saying, hey, we can't wait to get out in the road. I'm going to be careful what you ask for, boys.
Yeah, you're going to be out there for a long time.
Yep.
All right, Bob, we'll see you on the panel tonight.
Thanks, guys.
Here's Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider. Pooley, you and the O-Dog will be on the panel as well tonight with James Duthie. The game begins at 10, pregame at 9:30 on TSN4. You can listen to it right here on TSN Radio. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by Proline next. All right, don't forget, we're looking for our third winner to send on TSN 1050 Superfan Spring Break, an ultimate hockey vacation from bookseats.com. Join Toronto as they take on Tampa and Florida in the Sunshine State, including round-trip flights, four nights accommodations, and tickets to the games in late February. To enter, you follow us on Instagram at TSN1050 and at bookseats.com. Again, on Instagram, find our latest Superfan Spring Break post and tag your travel buddy. On Friday, tune into Overdrive. If your handle is announced, you call in, you win the prize. Visit TSN1050.ca for all of the details. Bookseats.com, custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world, simplifying the way fans travel. I did not see this coming in September. The old if you had a told me game, the biggest game of the season would be on
Vegas.
In Vegas on a Tuesday in November. I'd say you're crazy.
I would say you're flat out nuts.
But that is exactly what we're staring at.
I thought this would be a toss away game. They'd have such a good record coming out of the gate. This is like go out there and get creamed for a couple days, play golf, and just roll the dice on the ice.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But now we're in go time. We'll see what kind of jam they got. That's what I kind of love about watching sports when I'm on the outside looking in. I like to see what kind. It's just like Johnny Miller when he was in the booth watching golf. He loved to see how guys' nerves could hold up with big putts, big shots, big chip shots, big drives. And that's what he was fascinated by. Mm-hmm. The nerves, how they held up. And that's what I want to see tonight. I want to see how much jam these guys have.
Absolutely.
And if they can pull it off. Because they got to. They have to have a performance. Where who cares about us or fans or people that are ripping them to themselves?
Oh, it's all about the guys on the ice tonight. Like you're pros. You're prideful. You're paid.
No kidding.
You've got goals. The expectations are high. Let's see what you got, man, because you've lost five in a row. You embarrassed yourself on Saturday night, flat out embarrassed yourself.
Yeah.
And you've paid lip service for 72 hours. Swagger, team meetings, going to the coach, We're in it together. It's not about X's and O's. It's about pride and it's about effort. All right, man. Let's see what you got.
Look each other in the eye.
It's all about what you got tonight.
That's right.
And I'm looking forward to it. Again, you can hear the game right here on TSN Radio at 10 p.m. You can watch it on TSN 4. So you guys, you got a late night tonight.
Brutal.
I'm so tired.
I am warning you. I am warning you. Tomorrow, I'll be awful. I'm just throwing it out there.
What if they get a big win?
No, still, dude, I can't go radio panel late radio.
It's tough. I need a big sleep in out of you. I need an early afternoon nap. And I think you're talking yourself down, but I feel like you're going to be fine.
Dude, I had a garbage move happen this morning. I had to drive my wife to work early. She went into Tim Hortons, comes out with one coffee. I'm like, how greasy is that?
Yeah.
That I looked at her. I go, what? You didn't think I wanted a coffee?
Right. No, man, couples fighting over coffees. I was in a similar spot earlier this week.
Throw the kid a bone, get him a coffee in the coffee shop.
Yeah. Well, I was saying maybe I didn't have time to make the stop, and then that became a problem, so we had to stop, and then because the holiday drinks are out, you know, so you've got to get like a creme brulee tea or whatever the hell it is. Anyway, that was my story, or I think that was yesterday, actually. That's back-to-back for us.
Anyway, Al's brother, first star today, he did get out of that turtleneck.
Yeah, the turtleneck, that's what threw me off earlier. I saw it, like, did you light that up in flames or what?
I was boiling back here. You were right. It's an absolute heat box in here.
Yeah.
And it just got worse over time, so I had to take it off.
All right, buddy. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm on Buffalo tonight. I'm on the Islanders in Pittsburgh, and I'm at Chicago at home. You can throw down 20. You can score 145. Find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. Get way into the game with ProLine. Leafs in action tonight. Enjoy that. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
Scarborough Nissan is one of the largest volume Nissan dealers in the GTA. And they'd like to thank their customers for the continued support during the construction on Eglinton. Come on in. They're open.
The Nissan Clearout sales event is on now. Lease the 2019 Qashqai S for zero down from $279 a month at 3.6% APR for 64 months. Includes $300 bonus cash.
Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Visit them on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Ave. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout sales event is on. Lease the 2019 Qashqai S for zero down from $279 a month at 3.6% APR for 64 months. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.